Praise the Lord, it is good to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You believe that it is good to praise the Lord every time. Amen. This morning we have a simple message. But I want you to listen carefully. It's not like anything deep or mysterious or mystery or deep, but just simple. But the Lord put it in my heart as I was celebrating my birthday to remind us of this, which many of us have lost sight of. We've lost sight of this very important part of our call, or our duty in Christ Jesus. Now, this morning, we are going to speak on reasons to be thankful. Amen? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Reasons to be thankful or to be grateful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I say it's not a big or deep message, just something straightforward. And I'll try not to take some of our time because we've running short of time. But we have reasons. Is there anybody here who can surely say that I have reason to be thankful? If there's anybody here, shout hallelujah. Amen. Unfortunately, it does not translate into truth. Every one of us will say, I have reason to be thankful. Every one of us say, I am thankful. Are we truly thankful to God for all His goodness and for all His mercies unto us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to be calling some few scriptures. Can you open Ephesians 5:20 for us? Ephesians 5:20. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we have reasons to be thankful? Are we thankful? Is our life full of thanksgiving and gratefulness unto God? This is an important part of the ministry of our calling in Christ Jesus that many of us are overlooking. And I'm going to bring the positive and the negative part of it. Giving thanks always. Everybody read it with me and say, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Can somebody say the other part of it? Always. Now, let's go to the other side of it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3 verse 2. 2 Timothy 3:2, please. 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Now, here is what Jesus said about the Christians, giving thanks to God always. Now, Paul again said to about the world, about the people of the world, that in this day and time, you will find most people to be unthankful. And boy, have I seen so much of it even in the household of God. Unthankful bunch. Lack of no gratefulness to God. And why is this? We live at a time, as I start to counsel people, or you know, as the economic woes progresses, and I found myself counseling and talking to people, and immediately they sit before me, I sit with them or talk with them wherever we are in the process of counseling. I see just so many things they can be thankful for. I see so many things they can practically lie on the ground and say, Lord, thank you. But no. What you see from the mouth of people these days is so much unthankfulness. They base their joy on things of this world. They base their joy on how much money is in the bank or account. They base their joy on this and that. They forget the total package that God has for His children. And they cannot see beyond what the devil is trying to show them to see why they will be thankful to God. Every second, every moment, every time of their life. And I start to wonder, does this apply to me also? Does it apply to many Christians that are sitting here today? Way back in the days of David, he start to see the same thing I'm seeing, and he said, oh, that man will praise our Lord for his goodness and for his goodness, for his mercy upon the children of men. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But no, immediately we lost our job. Woo, everything is down. Immediately somebody says something to us, our joy is filled with it. Immediately the bank account seems to be running empty or not going where it should be. There is no more reason to thank God. What we now have is people who are full of grumbling, bitterness, full of unsatisfaction. They are full of no gratitude to God. And when these things start to happen to you, what happens is that where there is no unthankfulness, your joy goes. And when your joy goes, there is no more distress. He said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when there is no joy in your heart, your strength disappears. You become an unfruitful Christian. You come to church, of course. You give your tithe. And you dance around. But there is no real thankfulness in your heart. And when I finish speaking today, if I have time to bring it as God gave me grace, to bring it out as it is in my heart, you will see that you are failing in being thankful to God. You are failing in being thankful to God. There is so many reasons why we should be thankful. So many of them. If you start to count it in your hand, in your foot, and the numbers will run out. If you really think about it, why we should be thankful to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We live at a time when people will see what God has not done. Listen to that. We live at a time when people will see what God has not done, rather than what God has done. It's not more what God did. It's not more what God did. It is what God has not done. Couple come before me and start narrating their woes and stuff and counseling and stuff. And every list they have why they are having the problem is what God has not done. Now, but if you turn it around and open your eyes to the truth and you start to see what God has done, then you will do what it says. Come, you have blessings, name them one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. No, they don't do that. What Satan wants you to see is what God has not done. What God wants you to see is what God has done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you start to see what God has done, and you open your heart, and you open your mind, you start to feel the joy of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You start to wake up early in the morning, and the first thing that comes to your heart is, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name. And you start to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then Satan starts to say, why are you thanking him? I'm thanking him because of what he has done. I cannot listen. If I start to count them, day will break, night will break, and it will not be sufficient for us to count God's goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you some key points. As I say, I'm not going to take much time on this. One thing you have to establish today, you know what is established? Something that is sealed. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Complete. Establish it in your heart today to be thankful and full of gratitude where you see that there is a reason or there is no reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's one of the tricks I learned. Because when life problem, life situation comes At times it looks like some nuts just left your brain or whatever. You cannot think straight. You cannot see the way you want to see. Establish it in your heart that whether you see a reason or you don't see a reason, I will praise and I will be grateful and I will be thankful to God. So that is signed, sealed, and delivered. That is number one. I must be thankful. Whether I know it or not, whether I see it or not, whether the enemy allow me to see it, whether the circumstance is so bad that right now you are like there's a crowd shielding you from seeing the goodness of the Lord. Establish it in your heart to be thankful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, giving God thanks always. He didn't say when the going is good. He didn't say when the going is the best. But always being thankful. But know what we see, as I said in the beginning, is not what God has done, but what God has not done. And that takes away your joy. And there goes your strength. And when those things go, you become depressed, you cannot thank God. You can even say to your mouth, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But it is not coming from the depth of your heart. There is a thanksgiving that when it comes out, when somebody does something to you, or you say thanks to somebody, and it can translate, the person will actually see that there is an energy, there is something, there is a substance. This person really meant this thank you. Not the thank you you say when after you send in an email, blah, 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 blah. Say thanks. Those are just from, when there is a thanks, it comes from inside of you. It's a thanks that is full of gratitude that have a substance to it. And God honors it. And when you start to learn the secret of thanksgiving, you start to break out of yoke in your life. You start to break out of bondage. Our sister Candice was saying this morning, say, a grateful heart equals to greatness. That is her comment when she was giving a citation this morning. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. A thankful heart is equals to greatness. When you don't have thankfulness in your heart, you lose a lot with God. And today, Christians are becoming grumblers, bitter Christians, full of ungratitude, just like the world, unthankful, unholy. They are not thankful in their hearts. They allow the devil to paint a picture of what God has not done. But God has done a lot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Second, establish. Establish it in your heart this day that though for a while it seems that God's back is turned. Have you been in that situation? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you look that the back of God is turned, and you pray, and you fast, and you made a vow, and you throw yourself on the ground, and you did everything that is humanly impossible according to the word of God, yes, it does not look like God is smiling on you. Establish it in your heart that no matter what happens, I will still be thankful. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That in your heart this day, establish it in your heart this day, that though for a while it seems that God's back is turned. And the ancient foe and his minions seems to have a free day. Like they are dancing all over you. That God is good and that hell will freeze over before I give up my attitude of being thankful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is an attitude you cultivate. I learned this many years ago. Through the grace of God and mercy of God. It's an attitude you cultivate. It becomes inbound in you. It becomes part of your sustenance. That when those situations come, the first thing you say, hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because I know for sure, undoubtedly, it is still signed and delivered that all things work together for good. For them that love God. I may not fully understand it. At times I scratch my head. How is this one going to work out for good? But the word of God is true. And heaven and earth may pass away. But not one single word of this truth shall fall to the ground. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now establish it in your heart again. Stamp it right in your heart. And if you have this knowledge, it will help you a lot. That no matter whatever is happening, that God is still in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That God is in control. When we start to panic and we start to give up our attitude of being thankful, it's when we feel that things is out of control. This car is running around without a driver. The train is lost and no more is not controlling it. But God, the Most High, is always in control. There is no button that will be pushed without His authorization. He said the sparrows of the air, not even one single hair of one of them will fall to the ground without His permission. For His eyes is on the sparrow, it says. One of the songs says, and He watches also over me. If God, He says in the Bible, Jesus was telling them, if your heavenly Father will care for the sparrow of the field, so that not, and when it says sparrow, it's bird, a bird, you know, they fly away, thousands and millions of them everywhere, not one of them will die, not one of them will fall to the ground, not a feather from them will drop to the ground, without the knowledge of God, without His permission. And you are created in the image of the Most High God. Do you think anything that pertains to you, anything that affects you, is without the knowledge of the Almighty? Is there anything that I think that pertains to you that without His knowledge? No. Everything, that headache, that trouble, that whatever it is that you are going through, God is aware of it before it comes to be. Now there may be situation that He allows it. There may be situation that made Him to allow it for one thing or the other. But I like the attitude of Job in the Bible. When this man was living in peace and everything was complete around him, he has everything going for him. A multi-billionaire in his own right. Then suddenly, God made a bet when the devil challenged with him. And he started to have all this life trouble. The children went. He bowed down and praised the Lord. The morning went. He bowed down and praised the Lord. Just different things start going. Until finally he remained just his health. Then Satan said, well, what of his body? God said, well, touch the body, but don't kill him. You can't kill him anyway. And so he touched the body, became sick. And so out of sympathy, out of concern, people around him start saying, curse God and die. Do you know it's in the Bible? He said, curse God, and the wife told him physically, I said, Job, it's too much. I can't see you going through the suffering. I can't see you still praising God in this. Why? Why? You know why he used the word curse God? Because in that situation, he said that Job, after every instance, he still went back and bowed down and worshiped the Lord. He said, well, revise it. Instead of praising and thankful to God, go ahead and curse God so that you are better off dead in this situation. Say you speak like no wise person. The Bible says in the days of adversity, what? In the days of prosperity, rejoice. Amen? And in the time of adversity, also consider that God put all these things in places for a reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The reason many of us have forgotten on how to be thankful and full of gratitude is because we have come to base our joy like the people of the world. The people of the world, and I've sat with many of them and talked with many of them over the course of my Christian life and as a ministry. And one of the best sources I talk to people is when they are down and out and they're ready to share everything. You see that their joy is based on what is happening now. So that if tomorrow those things are not happening, the joy just goes what? Away. I got a joy and they threw a party. I got a job and they threw a party and they rejoiced. I have a child and they threw a party and I'm getting married and they threw a party. I got a husband, a wife, I threw a party. This, one thing or the other is because of what is happening now. They forgot something, that according to the Bible, there is time for everything under the earth. Now, God put that in the Bible for you, for every Christian, that no matter how we stay in the Lord, no matter how committed we are in the Lord, no matter who we are in the Lord, there is cycles of time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is cycles of time. Just as my birthday come and went, it's a cycle complete. There are cycles of time, and within the next cycle, things will happen. Our positive attitude is that the best will always happen. But many a times challenges come, and we forget that God has put all this in place. We have to come to the knowledge of what is important to God, for you to be able to establish in your heart that no matter what, whether I see a reason or not, I will always be thankful and be full of gratitude to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The reason you have to know this is because when the cycle comes, God put them in place for maybe one reason or another, maybe to try your faith, maybe to push you to the next promotion. For every trial in life, whatever you go through now, is all as far as God is, to move you to a greater position. The ultimate position, the ultimate goal, the ultimate desire of God is to bring us to that level of sons of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And every situation, where you start to recognize that every situation is God pushing you toward that situation, whether it be trial, whether it be sorrow, whether it be victory, whatever it is, God is always at work. God is always in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are hundreds of reasons why we can bless God. If we start to count it, as I said in the beginning, we will run out of, we'll be here for days. If I say each person can count 100, another person something else, you know, that we are alive and breathing, just mundane things, it's a reason to be thankful. That you can, one brother was speaking, brother Peter speaking sometime, that you can brush your teeth, or see with your eyes, or walk with your feet, or talk with your mouth, or eat and swallow something. Those are just mundane things we take for granted. They are reasons to be thankful to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I start to wonder about great men of God. The people of the Bible times. I like to read medieval times fictions or novels or Christian books, how they went through persecutions. And I start to wonder at a point, because I was reading one particular one, and I see so many Christians, they took them and put them in the lion's den. They crucified them upside down, and they cut off their head. Let somebody just bring Hebrews, bring book of Hebrews for me. Hebrews, I believe, 3:3 or something. I've forgotten. I think it's 11:33, but I'll put it if I can find it right now. So, these are the times of the ancient time, when they are killing them, they are mocking them, they are destroying them, and they cannot find any consolation. I will quote the scripture because I didn't write it down. He said, men and women in those days, because of their trust in the Lord, he said they were cast into the lion's den. They were cut off. Their substances, things they had acquired, houses, money, and whatever, were taken away from them. Their life and things were taken of them. Verse 33 of that, I can't remember the exact chapter. He says, yes, because they have a foresight of what is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They have a foresight of what is to come. And that is the ultimate goal of God, the kingdom of God that is to come to them. What happened? He said they retained their joy and continue giving God praise, even in the midst of their situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, as I said, the world will base their joy on things that is now. And if you start doing like the world, to base your joy on things that is now, your joy will go. You have to learn to base your joy on things that is also to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I said, if we start to give reasons why we have to be thankful, we will have hundreds of reasons. But I'll give one or two. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the reasons I picked, the one that gave me real serious joy, the promises of the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You say, how is that a reason to be thankful? When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember God's promises, my joy returns to me. If you're a Christian and you look at the promises of the word of God and you don't have joy in your heart, cross-check yourself. Because that is a covenant that God has made with every child of God. And some of these promises dealt in the past, and some of these promises dealt in the present, and some of the promises is for the future. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the past. He already established certain things in your life that the devil wants to take over, to destroy, to do away with. But God retained it for his glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the present, as we say, our God is always in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody opens to me 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. And for the future, if you don't know how to be thankful, there's reason to be thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. There's also things, I'm not, as I said, we are out of time, so I'm just going to go through some of this thing pretty fast to come to conclusion. And it says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, amen, nor ear heard, neither have been entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At my deepest woe, when I seem to have no other things to hang on, I start to remember the promises of word of God about things to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because for the present, I may not be able to see too many reasons. But as a Christian, he told me that if I endure, if I hang in there, if I don't give up, if I don't yield my faith, if I don't throw up my hand and say, okay, I'm done with it. He said, our eyes have not seen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm a person that is full of imagination. I can think things you don't even think of. I can look at things and have a creative mind that goes at the speed of light. And I say that no matter what I think, no matter what I think I may see, my eyes have not seen, my mind has not even come to counter it, and my ears have never heard, never have it entered my mind what God prepared for them that love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I feel like dancing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't think if you're Obama, if you're George Bush, if you're the richest people in this world, unless you have Jesus, you cannot compare to me. Unless you have Jesus, you cannot compare to me. Because that's the promise there. That Obama have not seen. Neither has all the leaders of this world. The kings and monarchs of this world. Their eyes have not seen. Neither have it entered their mind. Their ear has not heard what God prepared for me. For me. For me, Emmanuel. Because I love him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot shout hallelujah for that. What else? You shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That no matter what this world will call me today, that's why those women, they were able to die for their faith. That's why, I couldn't find that scripture in Hebrews, I think 7:33 or something. That's why they couldn't give up. Because they have seen beyond the window of time. That whatever we have here, whatever is happening around us, this is a transition. This is a stop. The rail, the train is going to a destination. This is just a stop. 70, 80, 90 years and we are done. But there is eternity of joy with Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So why do you measure yourself and allow yourself to be taken advantage of because of what today is? Do not base your joy on today. Yes, rejoice when things are there for you to rejoice. But if there is adversity, don't become a bitter, complaining, bitter Christian. I've been myself from time to time. I find myself in going into that area, and I quickly pull myself out because I've established it in my heart that there is a reason to be thankful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Two. I'm only going to name two because of time. Establish it also in your heart and know that no matter what is going through, that Jesus is my friend. Because I've sat with many people, Christians too, who actually decided that God does not love them. Thank you, sir, for that help. Who through faith, we're going to read that quick scripture I'm going through, let's read down quickly. Who through faith, go to 31 or 30, go back to 30 of the same scripture, 11, 30. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Go down again, 31. By faith, the house, go down to 33, I think it's around 29. Let me open it in the Bible as we speak. These people through faith subdued kingdom, overthrew nations, do everything. I want you to go to where they say that they lost everything and their eyes were still upon the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Their eyes were still upon Jesus, no matter what happened. They did not give up. They did not yield up. They did not say, because all this thing is happening, I'm not going to be happy again. I'm not going to be, okay, I read from verse 35. Women received their dead, raised again to life. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings, scourges, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, we are tempted, we are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves. And this all, having obtained the good report through faith, received not the promises. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They went through all these situations because they had a vision of the future. And that's what I'm trying to bring to you. If you base your joy on just now, you will be depressed. I have a friend I used to, good friend of mine. Every day, he will run to the computer in those days, about 10 years ago or whatever. He has this stock. And that stock was doing well. You know, every day, the stock, I said, Emmanuel, I just made so many thousands. And we are working in the office. Another day, I just made so, another second. Every few seconds, he will run to this computer and check how his stock is doing. And each time the stock goes down, you see him depressed. And when his stock goes up, he's happy. And when the stock goes, and the stock was making mumu of him, you know, joking with him, just keep going like this, going like that, going like that. So I said, Don is his name. Why are you doing this to yourself? Say, this is all my savings. All you have in life? Yes. And that's where you base your destiny. So one day he came to work. Actually contemplated suicide. Because, I don't know what happened, I can't name that company and it's only this thing, but I can't remember the company. Their stock just went, everything gone. And so Don doesn't have any reason to be joyful again. Become depressed, become tired of life, he cannot do his job well, it started affecting everything in his life, it started affecting his work, his family, this and that, and down the line. Because what he based his joy on has suddenly been taken away. But if you base your joy on things of Christ, if you base your joy on things that is to come, and not just things that is now, Satan will not be able to take your joy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As I was saying, one of the important establishing things you have to do in your heart is that Jesus Christ is your friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Life journey is full of ups and downs. And when this ups comes, you feel related to God. I experienced that myself. I feel that God is smiling on me. I feel like today is good. And that goes for many of us. But then when it now comes, I want you to also feel the same, that no matter what is going on, Jesus is still my friend. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I always love that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege for me and for you, for everybody sitting here this morning, to know that we can go to God in prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David and Paul, so rounding up, are two great men of God. And I learned something from both of them in terms of this. David wrote 150 Psalms, the longest and the greatest book in the Bible there. He started with number one, praising God. And in Psalm 150, he's still praising the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you go through the life of this guy, he saw it through all. From sheepskin, where he was nobody, God called him, took him from a low estate, and exalted him. Then the king of Israel came after him to destroy him. He was running around, sleeping in the desert. This was an anointed God, an anointed king, sleeping in the desert and running for his life. Yet, each one of the psalms he wrote, in every situation, you cannot see David not praising the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And by the time he goes to Psalm 150, can you put it up in the scripture really quickly? Which was the last psalm he wrote, at least according to what we are given. He was still saying, praise ye the Lord. Everybody say, praise ye the Lord. He said, praise God in his sanctuary. Amen. He said, praise him in the firmament of his power. Verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. 3. Praise him with the sound of trumpet and with the sound of psaltery and harp. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, praise him with the timbrel and with dance. Praise him with the stringed instrument and organs. He said, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sound. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. This guy was so full of astonishment why people has refused or given up from being thankful. That he said, as I put it before, he said, oh, that man would praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a story about him that will summarize his attitude. What I'm trying to teach you guys, the attitude of cultivating thankfulness. It's an attitude you have to develop. You know, some people have attitude. They have a way of doing their hand. They have a way of saying something. They have a way of just want. You develop the attitude of thankfulness. And it will go a long way in making you a better Christian, a satisfied Christian, an overcomer. And you will be a fruitful Christian also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas, as I round up, we are two men of God, doing things for Jesus. But at a point, they find themselves where? In a jail. In those days, jail is not like it is today. When you are in a jail, in those days, you are in a real jail. Nobody thinks of your rights. You are chained to the wall with heavy iron. You are there in your group or whatever, everything. It's a filthy. In jail, in those days, the term of jail in the days of the old, in their time, is called dungeon, a place of torture. And so in Acts chapter 16 verse 25, can you put it up for me please? Acts chapter 16 verse 25. While they were in this dungeon, while they were suffering all these things they have to suffer, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were in a situation that probably none of us here have been in. If you've been in jail in this modern time, that is no jail compared to what they were. And they were there not because they were thieves, not because they were armed robbers, not because of stupidness, not because of something they did wrong, but because they were doing things for Jesus. And yet, deep into the night, the prisoners, they had them singing and giving praise to God. And what did he bring about? He brought about their deliverance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David found himself in a situation in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm not going to read it. It's a lengthy listing because I want to round up in a few minutes. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, he made a mistake. He did something against the Lord. For those of you who want to write it down, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 to 23. He sinned. And so, the product of the sin was a child. And God said to him that you're a prince, a priest, a king in Israel. And sent his prophet to tell him this thing and say that that child will die. David knew that he had sinned and he immediately repented. And he called upon God to forgive him. He called upon God to keep that child alive. So he went into the process of retaining or asking or getting the favor of God. The king of Israel was sleeping on the ground, bare floor, not even in the outside. He didn't eat for that 7 days that the child was sick. He didn't bathe himself. He didn't shave. He didn't do enough. He was there before God, praying day and night for God to revise this situation. And that's something I want to bring across to some of us today. That there is a time you will pray. There's a time you will call on God. And you look like God's back is turned. And God has a purpose for whatever he wants to do. And that prayer may not come through the way you want it. You have to still base your mind on the word of God. That all things work together for them that love God. That no matter what goes on or the outcome of this situation, I will still give praise to God. So his servants were afraid. In those days, if anything happens to the king, there's a change of government. And the new person that comes in might do away with all the servants and do away with everybody there, maybe whatever, just demolish them, or there may be a civil war. So it is not an easy thing for a king to die or the king to become angry. So it is a serious issue. And the servants were afraid. And I'm sure many of them joined and said, Lord, if this child will live, do something about the situation. So he prayed for 7 days. He fasted. He didn't eat. He didn't shave. He did everything. He made a vow to God. He called on God and said, I have sinned. Forgive me, but do not take this child. And there was a reason for that, his prayers. Then, one day he saw that his servants were huddling in a corner, and none of them were looking him in the face, and they were afraid to talk to him. He asked them, is the child dead? Say yes, the child is dead. David stood up, went inside the house, showered, shaved himself, put on lotion, dressed up like king, and he said he went into the house of the Lord and did what? Worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you put that place in the scripture? 2 Samuel, I'm just going to read some part of it. 2 Samuel chapter 12 from verse, maybe put 15 or 16. Okay. Go down to 18. 18. So, yeah. Go down to 18. All right. And it came to pass on the 7th day that the child died. And the servant of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Go to 19. But when David saw that the servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, said David unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he's dead. Go on. 20. And David arose from the earth. He was lying down on the ground all the 7 days, pouring out his heart to God, telling God why my job has to be retained, for instance, for some of us, why my back and calf has to be replenished, why my wife has to be this or my husband this, why I need this, a husband, or I need a wife, why this is just virtually every aspect of life that we're crying out to God. And some of them are most grateful. This body lifted, this yoke broken, whatever it is. But it came to pass that when they found that for some reason, because I'm saying it because I'm bringing out a point, we have come to be a kind of Christian that thinks that we have a right to answer of every situation we want. And if God does not say yes, we become depressed. Are you getting this? We become some kind of Christian that think we have a right. That whatever we desire, whatever we want, whatever we really want to have, God must play to our tune. Do you see all the pictures that in the beginning or the end of it? The God we are serving is Alpha and Omega. You are only seeing one side. God has seen the left, the right, the up, the down, the forward, and the backward of it and say, no, I'm not going to answer this prayer. It is not the right time. It is not the best for this hour. It is not for you to have it. For whatever reason, and he has the right to overrule. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
That he says no. And then we become grumbling, bitter, full of bitterness, and we become unthankful. That is the attitude I'm trying to tell you that many of us have cultivated this day. That unless he goes my way, then I cannot praise the Lord. Unless God answers my prayer the way I want it, then there is no reason to be thankful. God is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't take him to court. You can't put him in jail. You can't do anything against the Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If he says it, he said it. Whether you like it or not, take it or leave it. The pastor says in some cases, if you don't like it, go to another planet and build yourself another planet if you want. As far as we are in this one, God is God. Why do we cultivate this attitude? That God must dance to our tune. That he must answer all the prayers. Do you know the beginning and the end of the situation? Do you know why he says no? Do you know why he delayed it? Do you know why he answered? That's why he said, in the days of prosperity, rejoice. But when adversity comes, consider. What are you considering? That God knows the beginning and the end. And for you that love God, there is a reason why he's saying no at this point in time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David knew this secret. He has to do his part to get God to change his mind. So he went to prayer, he went to fasting, he went to crying, he went to vow, he went to everything humanly possible to do. But at the end, God says, no, this situation cannot be changed for whatever reason. So he went up and did what? He showered, he clothed himself, he went into the house of the Lord and prayed. And they said prayer before him and he did eat. Go to 21 and see what people who don't understand did. 21. Then said his servants, what thing is this? You have given us hypertension for these 7 days. We have stressed ourselves out that you are going to kill yourself, David, if we tell you that this child is dead. We have fasted with you. I haven't gone back to my house, to my family, because we are afraid of what they have put a circle around him to make sure he doesn't harm himself. And suddenly, you find out that this child is dead. And what did we see you do? You rose and went and showered and clothed yourself and went to the house of the Lord and started rejoicing and started praising God. Why did you do this? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is people without knowledge. They are dealing with a servant of the Lord that have understood the secrets of God, that knows the mind of God, that knows how God works, that if he overrules, he overrules. If he calls it down, he calls it. He calls it as he likes it, Whether you like it or not, that is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The only thing you can ever do is to always say, Lord, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's a reason to be thankful. I may not fully understand what happened here, but I know you are the Alpha and Omega. Let's stand on our feet as we round up. I know you are the Alpha and Omega. I know that I may not fully understand it, Lord. When my distant children turn out like this, or my distant turn out like this, or the thing I work for, I pray for, I hope for, it turn like this. But I will still say thank you, Jesus. I will still be grateful, O Lord. I will still be full of gratitude. And when the moment of time, my eyes could not see it, because I have cultivated the attitude of thankfulness, of being grateful, I will still praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will still say that the Lord is good. I will still say that there is none like unto our God. I will develop an attitude of thanksgiving. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will come to that decision, knowing that whatever it may be, I will still praise the name of the Lord. I will come to that decision that whatever happened, God is in control. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For he did say, you know, as I said, there is reason to thank him for the past. There is reason to thank him for the present. And there is reason to be thankful for the future. And I read that scripture that eyes have not seen, neither have the ears of my heart, neither has it come to the mind of man. Now man has perceived it, what God had in store for him that loved him. So what am I saying today, brethren? Satan will bring a reason to tell you that there is no reason to thank God. And really, we are human beings. These things are painful things to us. And we seem to go up and down like that. My brain, the stuff goes up today, it goes down. It's just life. But I'm trying to teach you something. Cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That whatever it may be, no matter what it may be, because you have cultivated that attitude, it will never leave you. You may go to sleep not knowing what will happen tomorrow, but you wake up in the morning and you remember the promises of God, or the word of God, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And even if it does not come, and that is a hard one for us to swallow. Like those three Hebrew children, even if our God will not answer and send deliverance, yet we will not do what? Worship your God. Even if. Another man said it in a way that I love it. I believe it's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Open that verse as we close, please. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. This is how I want you to read it with me. Because this is the reason many people come for counseling these days. This is the reason many people are depressed. This is the reason why many people are so full of unthankfulness in our time. But here is a man that learned it also, like David. Although the fig tree, that is the bank account, does not blossom, blessed be the name of the Lord. Neither shall the fruit be in the vine, that there is no bread or butter or whatever in the fridge. And the labor of olive shall fail, you have been fired from your job and laid up. And the field shall yield no meat, there is nothing there for you to look unto. The flock shall be cut off from the field. Every resource is spread, and whatever you've got, and nobody is giving you anything, there is just no hope. And he said, and there is no hard in the store. Now this guy has decreed bankruptcy. Move down to the other one. I mean not chapter 11. What is the worst kind of bankruptcy? Somebody here would know. The one that there is nothing to go back to. There is nothing remaining. The labor of holy has failed. There is no friend that he can go to. There is nothing. Say, yet will I do what? Everybody say with me. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together, everybody. Hallelujah. Now, reading with me yet one more time. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my... One more time, everybody say like you mean it. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the joy of my salvation. Whatever he may be praised, and devil runs away, and God will come to stay. Hallelujah. Whatever, sister, can you raise your voice for me? Praise the Lord. And your voice away, just be recalled to stay. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be, praise the Lord. And your voice away, as we recalled to stay. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be, praise the Lord. And your oh, God's Spirit come to me, hallelujah. Whatever he will give, God's Spirit, God's Spirit come to me, hallelujah. Whatever he will give, God's Spirit come. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I say, blessed be the name of Jesus.